Take your Bibles. We're in Psalm 46 this morning. Psalm 46. This is the fifth lesson in a series of six on storm shelters. All the lessons are from the book of Psalms. And again, the lessons seek to answer the questions, where do we go when life gets tough? Where do we go when the storms of life hit? And as we've mentioned every week for the past 4 weeks, the storms of life can take different forms. Some of those storms can be health storms. Some of them can be financial storms. Some of them can be relationship storms. And when the storms come, our natural response, just what we do by our nature, is we look for a shelter. We look for a place that we can go that doesn't make the storm stop, but a place that we can go to find safety through the storm, a place that we can go to keep us through the storm. And the lessons remind us that that shelter that we should run to is God's embrace, is God's presence. So where do I go when life gets tough? Where do I go when the storms of life hit? I go to God. And by the way, so many times when we go to God, God uses other people in our life to help us get through the storm. He puts other people in our life to be the encouragement. He puts other people in our life to be the help that we need in the time of storm. So we've had four lessons so far. The first week we were in Psalm 23, and we talked about the shelter of God's presence. The second week we were in Psalm 27, talking about the shelter of His salvation. Third week we're in Psalm 32, talking about the shelter of His forgiveness. Last week, we were in Psalm 42 and 43, the shelter of His encouragement. And then this week, we're in Psalm 46, the shelter of His peace. The shelter of His peace. Now, as I always do, I'm going to tell you the main 3 points the lessons try to make. I'll give you those 3 points as I teach the lesson. And then if I remember at the end, I'll give you the 3 points that I told you at the end. I believe repetition is a good teacher, and you need to know what God and you need to know what the author of the lesson is trying to accomplish. So here's the 3 main points of the lesson. God's protection and His peace are greater than any storm that threatens us. His protection and the peace He provides are greater than any storm that comes into our life. Where God is present, there is peace. If we stay close to God, if we stay in the presence of God, it doesn't matter what storms are going on. It doesn't matter what our circumstances of life are. We can have peace. And number 3, the Lord is always at work in our life. Now again, if you just get one truth, just grab a hold of this one. God is always at work in our life. It doesn't matter if things are going good, if things are going bad, if things are sort of average. It doesn't matter. God is always at work trying to accomplish something in our life. All right, so if you look at your Bibles, at least in my Bible, it has the titles for the psalm. And the title of Psalm 46 in my Bible is "To the Chief Musician for the Sons of Korah, A Song Upon Alamoth." Now, we know from the book of Chronicles that Korah was the name of one of the singers that were in the temple in Solomon's day. And so maybe this song was written, and again, we don't know who it was written by, but it was written for the singers in the temple. It was written as a song to be sung in the temple. And Bible scholars say that Psalm 46 is probably one of the most important psalms in all of the 150 in the Psalms. And we know there's some other ones that are important that we know that are very familiar to us. But Psalm 46 is probably one of the strongest statements about how we should trust God when storms come. How we should just put our faith in Him and depend on Him when the trials come. If you read your lesson, you know that this psalm inspired Martin Luther to write the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," talking about the fortress or the protection that God is in the times of storm. And some people think that this psalm was written at a time when Israel was facing a big storm. when the nation of Israel was facing some trial, maybe an attack by an enemy, or maybe some internal problems that they were having. And but the psalm goes just beyond one historical event. It may have been written because of a specific set of circumstances, but its message is clear, plain, and direct, and it resounds down through the ages to every person as a reminder that, again, that we can trust God, that we can that we can depend on Him to get us through any circumstances that come in our life. So we're going to look at it in three parts. And all three parts this morning end with the word Selah. And again, we ran across that word last week. Selah is a technical musical term. And again, these were songs that were sung in worship. It means to the singer or to those, to the congregation that's singing, hey, stop, take a breath, reflect on what you just sung. Reflect on what was just said in the song. Too many times, especially when I'm sitting up here and I watch people singing, I look at their faces and I think to myself, they must not be thinking about what they're singing. Because if they were really thinking about what they were singing, that sour look wouldn't be on their face. Lori and Shirley came in this morning, and Lori sort of had a frown on her face, and Shirley had a smile. And I asked Lori, I said, Lori, how you doing? And she said, well, I'm doing pretty good. And I said hello to Shirley, and Shirley said, aren't you going to ask me how I'm doing, Pastor? I said, no, I can tell how you're doing by that smile on your face. And we need to practice what that one word says, Selah. When we're singing songs, don't just mouth the words. Don't just sing the words without thinking about what you're singing, because the songs are in themselves are a message from God. They will remind us of some blessed truth that He has for us. See, God does just doesn't bring us to this place for the preaching or the teaching. He brings us to this place for the singing. He brings us to this place for the praying. When other people pray, I listen. I'm encouraged by what other people pray. I listen to what they pray. So should you. He brings us to this place for the fellowship that we enjoy with one another. And so don't miss any of it. I mean, pay attention to all of it, to the songs, to the prayers, to the fellowship, and of course, to the lessons and the preaching. So Psalm 46, we'll start with verses 1 through 3 this morning, where it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Selah. So this psalm starts with three declarations, three statements made in faith, three statements probably made in some experience, three statements made about God. Number one, God is our refuge. Now, we're going to run across that word refuge also in verse 7 and in verse 11. But the word, a Hebrew word for refuge in verse 1 is different than the Hebrew word in verse 7 and verse 11 where that the English translators made it refuge. And verse 1, the word refuge comes from a Hebrew word that means protection. The protection provided by a shelter. The protection provided by a place where we go to get out of the storm. And so, again, God is our protection. He provides protection in storms. He provides protection in times of danger. He provides protection when we are threatened by some threat. Then it says, He's not only our protection, He is our strength. God is my strength, my might, my power, the reason for my boldness. I don't have to depend upon, when I go through the storms, I don't have to depend upon my strength. I don't have to depend on my power. I don't have to depend on my courage. Of course, God wants us to use what He's given us, But in those times of storm, my power is not what I depend on. I depend on Him. He is not only my protection, He is my power that I can use to get through that storm. And then the third declaration is, God is a very present help in trouble. I'm going to start from the end and work my way back. The word trouble means to be in a tight spot. I mean, literally, that's what the Hebrew word means, to be in a tight spot that squeezes you. And so it paints a picture of being in distress. It paints a picture of affliction. It paints a picture of tribulation. It paints the picture of circumstances that squeeze our life, that squeeze our being. That word help, He's a very present help in those times when we're squeezed. That word in the Hebrew means to surround. And as we are surrounded, we are helped in that tight place. So again, just look at the picture that the Hebrew words paint. I'm in a tight place that's being squeezed, okay? But there's somebody that's around me, that surrounds me, that helps me when I'm squeezed. In other words, moves whatever's pressing in on me away from me. So again, He's a very present help. He's somebody that comes and provides assistance when I'm squeezed by trouble. The word present in that phrase means that He's on the scene. He's always available. He is there. And the word very describes when He's there. It talks about how much He's there. What it does is says He's always there. There's never a time when you go through trouble. There's never a time when you are squeezed by circumstance. There's never a time when you face danger that God leaves you alone. He is always there. Now, I know some people say, well, preacher, I've been in trouble and God wasn't there. No, just because you can't see Him, just because you can't feel Him at times, doesn't mean He's not there. He promised us, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I was talking to somebody this week, and I can't remember who it was, but he was talking about some trouble that he was going through, and his mother sent him that little poem, Footsteps. He said, preacher, did you ever read that poem, Footsteps? I said, you're talking about the one that talks about the footsteps that we make through life and how sometimes at the toughest part of our life, you know, most of the time we see two sets of footprints, ours and the Lord's, as He walks beside us. And sometimes when trouble comes in our life, we only see one set of footprints and we think the Lord's forsaken us. He leaves us, but in reality, He's carrying us in those times. And so there's only one set of footprints. I said, yeah, I know that poem. He said, yeah, that's the one. I said, yeah, I know that poem. He said, I'm going through trouble. My mom sent me that poem and it's really helped me. Even though we may not see and feel at times God's presence, this is where faith comes in. Faith is the evidence of things not, the substance of things not seen. The substance of, I can't quote the verse, you know what I'm talking about. The substance of the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things, something else. But if you could always see God, if you could always feel His presence in your life, you'd never have to use faith. Faith says, when I can't feel Him, when I can't see Him, and when I think that He's abandoned me, my faith says He's there because He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He's a very present help. In other words, there's not a time that you go through trouble. There's not a time when you are squeezed by the storms of life or squeezed by the circumstances of life that God isn't there. Not a time. Not a time. He's always there. And His help is sufficient. Again, He may not take you out of the storm, but He'll loosen it up a little bit. Again, the pictures. I'm squeezed, and yet I'm surrounded by Him. That maybe not take all the pressure off, but it takes some off. Then the psalmist goes on in verse 2 and says, therefore, because God is our protection, and because God is my strength, and because God is a very present help when the pressure comes, therefore will not we fear. Now, sometimes in the Bible, and we've talked about it, that word fear means to hold in awe, to be in reverence. But here it means just what we think about when we use the word fear. It means being afraid. It means being terrified. It means just being scared of things that are going on. And what the psalmist is saying, because God is my protection, and because he is my strength, and because he's a very present help in time of trouble, I'm never going to fear. I'm never going to be afraid. I'm never going to be terrified. Now, the psalmist goes on in the rest of verse 2 and the rest of verse 3 to talk about some things that are going on. And look at the picture that he paints. Again, you might read these verses and think, well, the psalmist is describing natural occurrences. He's describing natural disasters like earthquakes and landslides. And when the very ground that we use for our foundation is shaken. Notice what he says. Though the earth be removed. Again, that word earth sometimes refers to a planet, but many times it refers to the ground, the surface of the earth. And that word removed means be changed or altered. And the psalmist says, I'm not going to be afraid. Though the earth should change, or it should be, or that it gives way, or that it trembles in an earthquake, I'm not going to be afraid. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, in other words, the mountains shake, they drop, they slip into the midst or the center of the sea. And so the earth quakes and shakes, and the ground becomes dislodged and slides into the ocean or slides into the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Again, the seas that are mentioned in the previous phrase, in the midst of the sea, they roar. They make noise. They be troubled. They foam up because they're beating against one another so much. They pose a threat to everybody that's close to them. I mean, think about the tsunami that we witnessed a couple, 3 years ago. The psalmist says, the earth can quake. The earth can shake. The ground can fall into the sea. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And what the psalmist is describing is when the earth itself, the place that we walk on, the place that we depend on to be solid and to be stable, when all of that shakes, when it looks like it's going back to the mess it was before God moved, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters and created the dry ground and made the mountains and told the seas that you could pass this line no more. It looks like nature is taking over. It looks like nature is unleashing itself on us, and God has no control. The psalmist is saying, during those times, I'm not going to be afraid. Now again, different people think these two verses mean different things. Some people does think it's talking about the natural disasters that the earth has suffered down through the ages that we still suffer today. Some people look at it and say, well, it's talking about a time of war when the enemies come in and the very foundation of life is shaken because you're at war. And you never know what's going to happen. Some think it speaks to the storms of life, the different things that come into the life of an individual. When things happen, as I was talking about in open assembly, where you think your world's falling apart, where the very things that you've depended on and the very things that you think are going to last your lifetime are pulled away from you. And you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. You can't possibly see how this is going to work out for anything good. And some people look at those verses and say, that's what the psalmist is talking about. But it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter it doesn't matter if it's a natural disaster. It doesn't matter if it's a time of war. It doesn't matter if it's an individual whose world is falling apart. What the psalmist is reminding us is that we need to say, I will not be afraid. I won't be terrified by it because God is my protection. Because God is my strength. And because he's my help. And he's always there. And his help is always sufficient. And his help is always greater than anything that comes. Selah. Selah. Now just stop. Just stop. Just chew on that for a minute. Just meditate it. Meditate on it for a minute. Why, you know, Helen Rainey pointed out to me one time, she gave me all the verses. She said, there's over 365 verses in the Bible that say, fear not. One for every day. And it's probably more than 365, so you have one for a leap year. Fear not. Why should we be afraid? Doesn't mean that we're not going to have concerns. Doesn't mean that we're not perhaps going to, spend some time thinking about what's going on. But we should never be terrified. We should never be afraid. Because God is our protection. He's our protection. He's our strength. He's our power. He's our might. And he's a very present help in time of trouble. Okay, I'm not going to give you much time to think about it. You're going to have to think about it on your own. But see that. Verses 4 through 7. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So the scene changes. It changes from the world falling apart to a city. A city that is enjoying peace. And he says, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The city of God is Jerusalem. The holy place, the place that was set aside, the place of the tabernacle, the place of the temple, the place where the Holy of Holies were, the place where the mercy seat was in the Holy of Holies, the place where the presence of God dwelt, the place of the Most High. Again, God, the Supreme Being, the Lord of all. Now, there's no actual river that flows through Jerusalem. So the streams thereof that flows through that city, the psalmist is probably talking about the blessings of God that flow from his presence, that flow out of that city, from the temple, from the Holy of Holies, from his presence to the nation of Israel, that causes that causes the gladness that's talked about there in verse 4 that the city enjoys. And that gladness or that joy finds its foundation, finds its basis in the presence of God. I try to read 5 Psalms a day. So you can get through the book of Psalms in a month. If there's 30 days, there's 150 Psalms. So I read 5 Psalms. And this morning I read Psalm 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. This is the fourth day. And in verse 11 of Psalm 16 is this verse. I added this to my Sunday school lesson as I was reading my Bible this morning. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The fullness of joy we can know as Christians is found in the presence of God, in his presence. And it's more than just a minor presence. It's more than just a presence at the fringe, because that verse says, God is in the midst of her. A little bit different word than in the midst of the seas in verse 2, but it suggests the same thing. God's not on the fringes. He's right in the middle. He's within the city. The city shall not be moved. That's the same word that's used in verse 2 about the land being carried or the mountains being carried into the seas. It means the city's not going to be shaken. It's not going to be overthrown. And it's because of God's presence. It's not because of the walls around the city. It's not because of the armies, the strength of the armies in the cities. It's because God's presence in there, His presence is there, and God shall help her. Now, it's the same word that's in that verse that says He is a very present help in times of trouble. Same word in that verse, and it means to surround. God's going to surround that city. He's going to let nothing come against it. He's going to protect it. And that help will come right early. Right early. Some of you might think that's a hillbilly term. Yeah, right early. That's not a hillbilly term. Usually, back in Bible days, when an enemy was going to attack a city, they did their plotting at night, then they attacked right as the sun was coming up. They thought that gave them some advantage. And what this verse says is, it doesn't matter when the enemy attacks, God's always there. The enemy may sneak in early in the morning, think they're going to get an advantage, but they won't get an advantage because God is always there, always on time, always ready to defend when the enemy comes. The heathen rage. Now, the heathen are talking about the Gentiles, the nations that are non-Jews. And a word raged is the same word for the roaring of the sea used in verse 3. They made a lot of noise. They raised a big ruckus. And some of the other kingdoms in the world, not talking about the kingdom of God, but some of the other kingdoms were moved. They were shaken by the noise that these enemies made. They were shaken to the point of being overthrown. Not so with the city of God. Because when these enemies roared, the Bible says that God uttered His voice, or He raised His voice, and He did it with such power that the earth melted, that the enemies just melted away. They just dissolved. And you can't help but think about some of the stories in the Old Testament where the people of God were so far outnumbered. I can remember one story about the numbers, but I can't remember the king. But there was an enemy came, 185,000. 185,000 soldiers, and they surrounded the city. And God moved. And they went out in the morning, and every single one of them was dead. 185,000 soldiers. I mean, they could make a lot of noise. They could make a lot of threats. But it doesn't matter. God surrounds that city and protects it. Even when the enemies attack, the people of God can stand without fear because of verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That word Lord is the name Yahweh. It's the personal covenant name of God. It's the name that God used when He spoke to Moses at the burning bush. It is the great I Am. The Lord of hosts. That word host means a mass of people organized for battle. God is the head of that host. When the Bible talks about Him as the Lord of hosts, it's talking about the omnipotent, invincible power of God. No power in heaven or earth greater than the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob. This is not a new God. This is the God of the Jews that's been there since the time of Abraham. The God of Abraham. The God that made the promise and the covenant with Abraham. The God of Isaac, the one who made the promise with Isaac. The God of Jacob, and the covenant still in effect. Yeah, and what the psalmist is telling the people of God, this is no new God. This is not a different God. This is the God that continues to keep His promise to His people. He is our refuge. Now again, the word refuge in verse 7 is different than the word refuge in verse 1. It doesn't mean protection in this verse. It means place of protection. He is the place we run to hide in the time of storm. The place that is prepared for us to keep us out of enemies. Selah. Again, stop. Chew on. Meditate on what's been said. When the enemies attack, We just need to remember that we're in the presence of God. And the basis for our peace is Him. So we don't need to fear. It doesn't depend on our strength. It doesn't depend on our might. It depends on the strength and the might of our God. All right, let's look at the last three verses, starting in verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He has made, He hath made in the earth. Now that's a key verse to this psalm. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease until the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so, verse 8, if you look at that, you say, Preacher, I don't see why this is a key verse. And if you read it, it really doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm going to talk about in my message this morning and tonight the paradoxes of the Bible, where something the Bible says just doesn't seem to make sense from a human standpoint. This verse could be considered a paradox. Because the psalmist says, hey, come behold the works of the Lord. That word behold means to look at them so that you can understand and perceive what God is doing and how God is working. That word works means the things that He's made. And so when we read the first part of that verse, the psalmist, it seems like he's inviting us to come and see, hey, look at everything that God's made. I mean, the things that God made are all around us. The earth and the heavens and everything that are in it. Come and look at that. Maybe reminding us how powerful God is, because he spoke all that into existence. And God said, let there be, and there was. For all the only thing that He got His hands dirty with was making us. When He made man from the dust of the ground, everything else He spoke into existence. And so you might think, well, the psalmist is saying, come and behold, think about the power of God in everything He's made. But then the last part of that verse, what desolations He had made in the earth. That word desolations means devastation. It means ruin. It means messing something up. And the feelings that result, the horror that results from that desolations. And that word made, what desolations He had made in the earth, that word made means to bring, to put into place. So here's why it's a key verse. You got to look at the words to really understand what the psalmist is saying. Come behold. Look at what God is doing. When it seems like your world is being turned upside down. When it looks like He's destroying the very foundations on which you are standing. He is at work putting things in place for tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. For your good. For His glory. For His honor. What the psalmist is saying is when those storms come into our life that shake our very foundation, when those storms come into our life that attack everything that we stand on and hold dear and base our life on, when those storms come, God has not lost control. He is still in charge, and He's using those circumstances to put things in place in our life the way He wants them, for His glory, for His honor, for our good. He's trying to accomplish things in our life that we cannot understand, that we would not choose to go through what we got to go through to get there. But He says, I haven't lost control. Things in your life are not spiraling. They may seem like they're spiraling out of your control, but they're not spiraling out of my control. I'm still in charge. I still know what I'm doing. It may seem like devastation in your life. It may seem like ruin in your life. And He may say, you may be a little bit mad at me. You may be a little upset at me for letting all this happen. But I haven't lost charge. I know what I'm doing. I still have a purpose that I'm trying to accomplish with all this stuff that's going on. Now, verses 9 and 10, they paint a picture of a military advance, a group of enemies coming against God's people. And I thought about this with what's going on in the world today. You know, it may seem like we're on the losing side, but I want to tell you something. We're on the winning side. We have a God that maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. Not just in one region. There's wars going all over the earth today. One of these days, our God's going to put an end to every single one of them. He'll make it a lasting peace because he's going to destroy the weapons of war. He's going to break the bow. He's going to cut the spear in sunder. He's going to burn the chariot with fire. You say, well, it's easy to take care of bows and spears and chariots. I'm going to tell you something. God can take care of the atom bomb just as much as he can take care of a spear. And then that verse says, be still and know that I am God. Most of the time we take that verse out of context. We take that verse and says, hey, we need to stop in our life and we need to meditate with God so that we can get closer to him. And that's a good idea. We ought to do that. But that's not what this verse is talking about. What this verse is talking about, when your world is falling apart, when the very foundation of your world is being shaken, quit fretting, quit worrying, quit being anxious, and just be still and know that I am God and I can handle anything. I can handle anything. So stop. Don't worry about the natural disasters that are going on in the world today. Don't worry about the wars that are going on in the world today. Don't worry about the individual storms that come into your life. I am God. And I can handle anything. And then he says, I will be exalted. I'll be lifted up among the heathen in the earth. One day, everybody will know what we know about God. Because every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is God. He's God. So verse 11 repeats verse 7. The Lord of hosts, the omnipotent, almighty, personal God who has a relationship with us, is with us. The God of Jacob, the everlasting God, the God that walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the God that stood beside Moses at the burning bush, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's our protection. He's our refuge. And because of that, we can have peace. We can have peace. Some people think that peace is when I don't have any troubles. I don't have any trials. Everything is on an even keel in my life. That's not the kind of peace that the Bible talks about. The kind of peace that the Bible talks about is a peace that passeth understanding. It means a peace that the world can't understand. A peace that the non-Christian can't understand. A peace that says, regardless of my circumstances, regardless of the storms in my life, I know that God is God. And I can have that peace. Choir sings a little chorus. We haven't sung it for a while, but one of the verses go something like this. This peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this peace, forgive the tune, I'm off tune. Oh, this peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. No, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. And it can't. Comes from God. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this blessed psalm. Thank you for the truth that's in it. In those very times when the foundations of our life are being shaken,
We don't need to fear because you're God and you are our help. Help us to rest. Help us to be still and know that that's true. One day everybody will know it, but we know it now. Help us to rest in that knowledge. Be with us as we go into the service. I pray, Father, that as we sing and worship together and as we hear thy word preached, that you would work in our midst. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they would come this morning and receive him. That you would speak to Christians and we would be everything that you want us to be. Again, thank you for this time we spent together in your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you all for being here this morning.